This is Mindcraft, a podcast series in which we aim to destigmatize mental health one podcast at a time. In this episode, we continue our discussion with Marussia Bardaji about mental health in the classroom.
How can I help? This is the next obvious question, right? And maybe helping is just making yourself available and recognizing that something is different than how it used to be. You know, approaching a student and saying, hey, is there something going on? I'm noticing this and I'm noticing this and that. And I'm here if you want to talk to me. This is the first and maybe one of the most important things in terms of helping first aid, not in treatment, but in first aid approaches. It's being available. It's recognizing that something it's not the same, and I am already with you, and I am here if you need to talk, if you want to talk. This is really something that I believe, with the proper information and confidence, most any teacher can do. You know. But if I'm talking about myself as a student or as a teacher, the other side of this same first aid, if I am external, I make myself available to you and say, I'm seeing something is not okay. I'm worried with you. I'm here if you want to talk. If I'm the person struggling and suffering, I need to recognize trustable people. And this is something that school environments have to be able to build, you know, having those significant individuals that work as the trustable people to talk to, you know, counselors, school coordinators, someone that is really close to students. Sometimes it's a teacher that is really close to students and have that openness and that, you know, caring characteristic. Sometimes is the classroom director or someone that can be that point of contact and maybe even a peer, peer student, a peer teacher, if I'm a teacher. And just to say, you know, something is not okay. Can I talk to you? No, this is my first aid to myself. If I am struggling with something, you know, it's recognizing who would be an open and unjudgmental person to talk to. You know, we usually have one or two or three people that we really feel comfortable and trust. So that person can be our first contact. You know, something's not okay with me. I'm struggling with this or with that. I'm having difficulties to deal with this situation. I'm really not okay with that situation. Can we talk? This is from the one side, my side. From the other side, I'm feeling something is not okay. I'm really worried with you, and I'm here if you want to talk. It's open the space. You know, this is really important. I can open the space if I am not feeling okay, and the other person can open the space, making herself or himself available to a friend, to a son or a daughter, to a student, to a peer, teacher, peer, parent. And so we really have to build that network of openness, you know, encourage the speaking, encourage the talking about those issues. You know, sometimes we identified someone that may be struggling with something, we don't interfere, and the parents identified her, their son or daughter is struggling with something, they don't interfere. Some I know that I am struggling or having difficulty to deal with something, and I don't open up about it, even with the persons that, with the people that I have trust and confidence. So this could be the first aid action, you know, towards myself or towards someone that may be having difficulties. And then, of course, recognizing what else is there. Where are the interventions available? Who are the professionals that usually provide those interventions? This is also literacy, you know, knowing places, knowing people, knowing where to go, how to get help. And this is really important as well.
Thank you, Mauricio. That response leads me to my next question, which is around first aid again, which is one of our key topics for this podcast. And we have often observed that mental health first aid is one of the things that either goes missing or is not followed upon with treatment, as it is in physical health. In physical health, if someone is bleeding, they would use first aid to stop the bleeding and then get treatment from the relevant doctors, hospitals, depending on the type of illness that they have. But often in mental health, the first aid is either not available or not accessible. And then even if it is not regularly followed up by treatments or by care. How do you think that we can incorporate a good mental health culture and literacy into our schools?
Yes, as I was thinking while you were asking the question, there is a big difference between the physical situation and the mental health situation, is that of course we can't make the person go to the next level, as we can sometimes, you know, call the ambulance and get that person in the hospital and she or he will be treated. With mental health, we really need to remember that not everyone wants help. Maybe sometimes not at that point, maybe because they don't feel like they can really address that situation. They can feel that they don't have the resources to go on with proper treatment. Maybe they just don't want to think about that situation at that moment. So we really need to respect that also, you know. So we have to really separate what we can do from what we cannot do. I mean, if I am a parent, if I am a teacher, if I am a peer, a student or colleague, I am not the health professional. I don't offer treatment. So I offer my time and my availability and my concern and my information. Those are the things I can really, and my not judgmental presence. This is really important, my empathy. So if I feel that I have no judgment, that I have empathy from the others, that I have a space where I can really feel what I'm feeling and express what I need to express, this is a huge help. If I'm not a health professional, I can't do much more than being there and say that I care and share my information about what may be going on, what resources are available, how help can be reached if the person have the need and wishes to do so. I can listen. I can be empathetic with that situation and validate that situation, you know, sometimes just by saying, okay, I really understand that it's really difficult for you. This is a really difficult situation, and I can see you are suffering, and I can see you are feeling the impact of that. So this is empathy. This is validation for what's happening. One important thing on that first aid is not to prescribe things, you know. If you can think about an anxiety attack or a panic attack or a crying crisis or something that is really intense emotional response, sometimes we have the tendency to stop that thing from happening because we don't know how to deal with it. So we are frustrated and we are bothered with what's happening with you. So I will try to stop whatever you are doing because I don't know what to think about it and what to do about it. So it's calm down, breathe, do this, do that. You don't need to feel that way. You don't need to be like that. It's not that serious. Yeah. And those are really not validating and not empathetic responses to someone who is really having an intense emotional episode. So one important thing in first aid is really get or provide to that person the confidence to speak if she needs or if he needs. You want to talk about it? This is a yes or no question. If the person doesn't want to talk about it, we cannot force them to talk about it. And it's not really positive if we force someone to say what's happening. Probably she or he doesn't know what's happening and why that response was so intense. So if I need to calm down and at the same time explain and justify myself to the other people, it can be really overwhelming for me, and I'm not prepared to that. So not asking many questions, not trying to extract reasons and justifications, and no, let it be and give that person a space to express whatever needs to be put out, and then we can try to offer information about resources or places or any different sources of help, of course. If I'm not dealing with intense or really serious episode, it's just a talking, and I am the trusted person that receive an information and would have someone opening up with me about something, you know, I can really try to work on that confidence in terms of I'm here, you can talk to me about whatever you need, validate the feelings and the emotions I'm seeing. This is really important to you, you know. Maybe it's not that important to me, maybe I would not react in that same way, but that's being empathetic. I mean, that person have a reason to react like that. So I can be not judgmental, and this is really an important aspect of the first aid. We can actually reassure, you know, how that person, how important or how concerned we are with that person and how we want them to be okay and feel better and be ready to experience the school or the college or the work or whatever the environment is in a better way. So we are here to help and reassure that there is treatment for whatever we can be feeling. You know, we don't need to feel like that forever or for long term. I mean, you know, you can get better. You know, there is help available if you want to and if you feel it's the moment to get help. You know, it's really important to respect that person's time and confidence. Sometimes I'm not prepared to go on and pursue treatment. So the external environment also have to respect that. Sharing information is really a first aid strategy. You know, I'm not sure that that person knows about where she can go, where he can go, with whom to talk, what kind of treatments are available, and I can provide that information if I have that information. So importance of literacy. Make sure that I share with that person all the information I have about whatever is happening, and make myself available to even search for important information if that person has no conditions to do. You know, those are really first aid interventions, not treatments, but interventions. You know, I'm here, I can listen, I can make, we can make a space to that emotion and feelings can be externalized properly. We can listen, we can reassure our concern, and we can share our information about resources and treatments, and we can respect whatever that person wants to do at that moment. Really, in small things, you know, drink water. I don't know if the person wants to drink water. I can ask, you know, do you want to eat something? Do you need to drink something? Can I get you to another place? Do you prefer to stay here? Do you want me to be here with you? Do you want to be alone for a moment? It's like what that person needs in order to calm down and to get back on his previous condition. You know, I can do whatever you need. We are here to help you in whatever you need to get better. You know, some people need space. Some people need presence because they feel protected. Some people need, you know, to breathe and drink some water and have fresh air. Some people just need, you know, for example, in an anxiety or panic attack or crying situation, some people need to go out and leave the place where that episode occurred. Some people just need to be there until they are okay again in order to go to another place. So we need to figure that out. I mean, you don't need to obligate someone to do anything, even if we know those strategies could be helpful. Let's wait and see what that student, what that child, what that person wants to. Do you want me to call someone? Do you need to talk to someone who's not here? Do you want me to call your parents? Do you have a friend you want to talk to? You know, if I'm witnessing someone having difficulties outside, you know, a known environment, like in the street or in some other place. Making myself available and respecting whatever that person wants or needs, and sharing information. This is really first aid strategies, and they are really helpful. You know, if we have a closer relationship, of course, we can extend that a little more, you know, with the reassuring and the concern and the not judgmental communication and opening the space to speak up. This is really important. You know, feeling that I can talk about it, it's really positive. I don't have to shut down and keep it to myself because I don't think anyone would understand. I don't think anyone could listen without criticism or judgment or telling me what to do or what I should do, what I should feel. So building that openness and encouraging the free talking about it. So those are interventions that the mental health education can provide. You know, open some really open spaces to talk about those things and reinforce the importance of general good habits, you know, like physical exercise, like sleeping well, like eating well, like communication openly with people, like discussing different situations and implications and talking about behavior and talking about feelings and talking about, you know, difficult transitions and the impact of those transitions or family situations and the impact of family, you know, in a general basis, not just with the students or with the person that seems to be suffering. No, to everybody. And in a general term, you know, like we have to talk about it openly in the community. So everyone is more prepare to deal with something that happens with themselves or with others. Everyone knows what good habits can do for our mental health. And it's general habits, like sleeping well, eating well, having strong peer relationships, and this have an impact on well-being. Not only physical. So this is for everybody, not for the suffering ones, you know, not for the struggling ones. We tend to individualize. Now, these students have difficulties. These students have problems at home. These students have learning problems. So we tend to be more alert to those students, but everyone has a mental condition. Everyone has the possibility to be affected by something that happens and even by something that is not planned, that wasn't really planned. Things happen without us planning. So, and we can be impacted by those situations. If we know what to do, if we have a strong confidence and self-esteem, you know, if I promote self-esteem in the school environment, I am promoting mental health. If I promote confidence in school environment, I am promoting mental health. If I prevent bullying from happening, I am promoting mental health and positive relationships. Sometimes we address mental health without knowing, and sometimes we don't without knowing. So this is really the important aspects of it.